The following news flash is brought to you by the Lone Star Lowdown, providing your daily bulletins for the commodities market, today in history, news updates, and the inside scoop into the tides of the alternative. Markets for Wednesday, the 4th of May, 2016, are currently trading with gold at $1,274.01 an ounce, silver $17.26 an ounce, Texas crude $43.65 a barrel, and Bitcoin is currently at about 448 U.S. currency. Today in history, the year 1415. Protestant Christian reformers John Wycliffe and Jan Hus are condemned as heretics at the Council of Constance. This declaration led to the digging up and burning of Wycliffe's bones, who had died a few decades before, with his ashes being dumped into a river, and to the eventual execution of Jan Hus by burning at the stake. Yet another attempt at stamping out Protestantism via the Catholic Inquisition. Today in history. In recent news, White House spokesman Josh Earnest said concerning President Obama's first visit to Flint, Michigan, in response to the lead poisoning crisis that has been happening there, that, quote, this administration will continue to help mobilize the resources necessary that will allow Flint to recover and come back stronger than ever. This is not an exercise in finger-pointing. This is an exercise in asserting the responsibility that everybody has to make sure the people of Flint have an opportunity to get back on their feet. President Obama did declare a state of emergency in mid-January and ordered federal aid in addition to the state and local response. His first priority in Flint is to be updated on the federal response to the crisis and is even meeting with some city residents. Israel's Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked, in an interview with the Washington Post, stated today that, quote, in the past, we've seen European leaders speaking against the Jews. Now we see them speaking against Israel. It is the same anti-Semitism of blood libel, spreading lies, distorting reality, and brainwashing people into hating Israel and the Jews. She went as far as to say that the supporters of movements such as BDS, which call for putting economic and political pressure on Israel in order to achieve compliance with international law and gain rights for Palestinians, are, quote, using the same kind of anti-Semitism, but instead of saying they're against the Jews, they say that they're against Israel. In response to comments made in recent weeks by members of Britain's Labour Party claiming that Hitler was a Zionist and previous remarks by lawmakers that Israel's population should be transported out of the Middle East to America, Shaked stated that, quote, today it is not politically correct to be anti-Semitic, but being anti-Israeli is acceptable. People who have such anti-Semitic views should not be allowed to hold central leadership positions. This is Rick Rohde with your lowdown for May 4th, 2016.
Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia on the 30th of July, 2016. My name's Hereward Fenton. Welcome to the show, folks. Today, I'm going to be concentrating on something that is pretty huge in the Australian media this week. And it is a very tangled web, and there are a number of aspects to it that I want to try and tease out. I'm talking about the scandal over Cardinal George Pell, who has been the subject of allegations which were aired on the Australian news broadcaster, the national broadcaster, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, just this week. Now, George Pell is often described as being the number three man in the Vatican. So, I mean, this is an incredibly high-ranking person within the Catholic Church who is very close to the Pope. And, of course, the Catholic Church is such a vast organization that when a man of that stature is put under such extreme allegations, you really have to come face to face with the fact that this is a massive development. Now, for those who aren't aware, the allegations are about sexual abuse of children under his care going back to the 1980s. And the allegations come in the wake of the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Sexual Abuse and a number of cases that involved priests, one of whom was the most infamous. His name is Gerald Ridsdale, and he was known to Cardinal Pell and even shared a house with him at one point in time. Now, there's been gossip and low-level allegations about Cardinal Pell from time to time, but nothing that reached the level of being serious, certainly nothing that was of the nature of a police investigation. However, that has changed in the last year. The ABC released the story, which also released the information that the police were conducting an investigation based on statements made by people who claim that they were sexually abused by Cardinal Pell. Okay, now, we need to look at a number of different aspects of this, and I'm going to play to you the 7:30 report piece that was done, not the whole thing, but I'm going to play some of it for you, which is the ABC television prime time piece, which has really stirred this up and which obviously has had a huge amount of production put into it. And it has a lot of aspects to it which make it, when you watch it, you sit down and watch it, it looks like a documentary. It's not just like a news report of something that's popped up. It's like they've done a whole lot of preparation for this. They've done their own background research, and they've brought to light information which was not in the public domain before, but which is linked to a police investigation. And there are a lot of complaints about what they've done on the grounds of it being a perversion of the course of justice, because bear in mind, Cardinal George Pell has not been charged with any crime at this point in time. There is an investigation, but that investigation has not led to charges. It has not even led to the police requesting an interview with George Pell at this point in time. So, why is the ABC engaged in this massive beat-up of this story before it has actually reached the point where it has become a definite case of a criminal process being in place? And this is something I want to kind of probe into in more depth. And it's going to involve looking at the broader aspects of what's happening with the progressive left agenda and its relation to the traditional basis of Christian society in the West, because there is a massive push to kind of eliminate traditional morality from the bounds of what is accepted in society. And of course, this comes in a year when gay issues, LGBT issues, have of course surfaced as being the most prominent that they've ever been. And there are so many people within the activist communities in those groups who have a vitriolic hatred and a vendetta towards the church for reasons that are actually to do with the moral position that sees certain types of behaviour as being sinful and wrong. And this is countered by the new norm, the new standards of morality that are now championed by all the major media, and especially the ABC, that indeed homosexuality and various different forms of gender fluidity and all these types of things must be regarded as something completely normal, completely standard and completely moral. And those who stand opposed to that are condemned simply on the basis of that. But now that is combined with the increasing association of the traditional conservative elements of the church with these lurid accusations of paedophilia. So that compounds the evil and tends to cement in people's mind that the whole superstructure of what the church stands for, the whole superstructure of the morality of what Christian tradition has held, is something that must be swept aside. And I believe that from a bigger perspective, that is part of what is happening right now. And I wouldn't be saying it if it were not George Pell in the crosshairs. But you have to understand, George Pell is the treasurer of the Vatican. So it is very hard to get higher up in the Vatican than to be the treasurer. He is part of the Council of Nine Cardinals, who are direct advisors to the Pope. These allegations that were aired on ABC have signaled a kind of a war. They've put the church into a position where it will either have to defend Pell and risk being dragged down by whatever comes forth from legal proceedings, if they do arise, or the church will have to let go of Pell completely. But in doing so, it will forever tarnish the reputation of the church in a way that they may not be able to recover from, because Pell has risen so high. He is that high within the organization that if they were to say, well, you know, this is a bad apple, how many other bad apples must there be? You'd have to conclude. Now, I believe that what the ABC has done is a travesty of justice. And I want to really highlight that in this show. It is a circumvention of the basic right of due process, of the presumption of innocence, to bring allegations forward and then to package them in the form of a kind of an almost a dramatized production, that is to forever destroy the possibility of George Pell being able to get a fair trial if this ever does go to trial. The production techniques that they've used include things like having video clips of young boys in a pool and spending quite a bit of time with a camera under the water with a kind of scary music playing while you see the little boy's legs under the water. And this is in the context of allegations that that George Pell groped young boys in a swimming pool. So clearly what the ABC has done here is a perversion of the course of justice, regardless of the truth or falsity of the allegations. Now, and I'm not certainly not in a position of saying that I think George Pell is innocent or I think he's guilty. I don't know. How could I possibly know? And it's a subject that I haven't really had much time to research. But I want to present some evidence and some interpretations and analysis of the way Pell has been treated by the media and by the Royal Commission at which he testified as evidence that he has not been given a fair go at all. And I also want to kind of present in a more positive light some of the things that he has said, because so much of the hate and vitriol that are directed to George Pell are, you know, interpretations of what he has said. In many cases, it's short, out-of-context clips that have been taken from his statements to the Royal Commission. And I want to play to you some of an interview that Andrew Bolt did with Cardinal Pell. Now, Andrew Bolt has been supportive of Cardinal Pell, although he has gone through a couple of phases where it appears that he's flip-flopped a little. And this is as a response to his interpretations of some of Pell's statements to the Royal Commission, which I'll also get into in this show. But Bolt has returned to being certainly a defender of Pell's rights. And he did quite a long interview with Pell earlier this year to get into his perspective on the issue of the subject of paedophilia within the church and the church's response to it. Now, a big part of all this scandal, as I mentioned, derives from Pell's connection to Gerald Ridsdale, who is definitely a paedophile and was convicted and committed many, many offences and was sentenced to many, many years in prison. But Pell has maintained that he did not know at the time about the crimes of Ridsdale and only found out later. And one of the biggest criticisms, though, that has been made about Pell is that he has said he did not show, he was not interested particularly in this topic. And this is one of his responses in the Royal Commission, that he said it was a sad story, that he wasn't greatly interested in it. And this is the one of the quotes that has been taken out of context and certainly used to portray him as some kind of psychopathic monster. When we come back from the break, I'm going to play to you some of the ABC 730 report and then some quotes from the Royal Commission and then some of the Andrew Bolt interview. And hopefully prompt you to think about this from a different angle to that which is being thrust at you by mainstream media. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Logos Radio Network is a truly listener-supported radio network? On top of the on-air talent, producers, and other hardworking individuals working behind the scenes, Logos Radio Network is kept on the air by the generous support of listeners like you. And we appreciate our loyal listeners making contributions every year in our annual fundraisers, which help keep the lights on and Logos Radio Network on the air. Head on over to LogosRadioNetwork.com to make your contribution. Every $25 donation enters you for a chance to win prizes from Central Texas Gunworks. First prize being a Spike Skull lower receiver. Second prize being a Taurus Curve.
10 winners will receive gift cards from All About Vapor.
And if you donate your $25 contribution early enough, you will also receive a complimentary jar of My Magic Mud. Donations by all major credit cards are accepted, as well as contributions by Bitcoin. The Logos Radio Network fundraiser now through March 17th. Head on over to LogosRadioNetwork.com for more information and to donate to keep the Logos Radio Network on the air.
NonGMOSolutions.com is now a proud sponsor of the Logos Radio Network with promo code LOGOS. We thank you for the opportunity to be your source for New Manna Foods, the leader in high-quality food that you will truly enjoy. You'll find gluten-free options, and all products are free from high-fructose corn syrup, aspartame, soy, and MSG. Whether you're on a tight budget, looking for options to reduce food cost without compromising health, or securing long-term 25-year storable food for an uncertain future, then NonGMOSolutions.com is your common sense answer. Take advantage of a 10% discount with promo code LOGOS. No longer will you compromise taste and quality for full-term shelf life or eat poor quality food due to cost. Check out our flex pay options and design a no-contract plan to satisfy your needs. Go to NonGMOSolutions.com today and get 10% off with promo code LOGOS. That's NonGMOSolutions.com with promo code LOGOS.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Thank you. back here with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm talking today about Cardinal George Pell and the accusations of child molestation that have been raised against him on ABC television. And I'm going to play to you now from the ABC 7:30 report, and I will pause it to make a few comments as I see fit. Here we go. This is from the 7:30 report, which was broadcast on Wednesday, I believe. It would have been Wednesday the 27th of July 2016. Here we go.
The town of Ballarat has long been a staunchly Catholic place, and Catholic Ballarat's favourite son was a strapping young priest called George Pell.
George Pell was like a father figure. He was the biggest figure in the church in Ballarat.
It was to be a brilliant career, Archbishop of Melbourne.
Let's place ourselves in the presence of God, our loving Father.
Archbishop of Sydney.
And suffering and evil will not have the last word.
Now Cardinal, based in the Vatican, he's one of the most powerful men in the Catholic Church.
Well, I think he never shied away from being seen as the face of the Catholic Church in Australia.
While George Pell's career was advancing through the church, a very different story was emerging from Ballarat. In that town, a generation of children lost its innocence to clergy abuse. A generation of adults is now dealing with the consequences.
It was never to be spoken of. If you did, you were dirty, you were an outcast to your family.
Since the Child Abuse Royal Commission exposed the extent of the problem, Ballarat's churches are now enclosed in so-called loud fences to symbolise ending that silence. St Alipius has perhaps the loudest fence of all. Serial predator Gerald Ridsdale was at one time parish priest, and a ring of paedophile brothers who taught at the school abused and beat dozens of children.
You're like a dog who's been beaten too much. You've got no confidence. You can't talk, and you'll never talk. You feel ashamed.
The legacy is still felt in Ballarat.
There's still places in this town now, like, where we drive past every day, and you see the gouges out of the telegraph pole where you know that friends have ran into it to kill themselves.
George Pell was also a presence in the children's lives at St Alipius in the 1970s. Father Pell was the Episcopal Vicar for Education for the Ballarat Diocese. He'd also lived in the St Alipius Presbytery with Gerald Ridsdale earlier in the 70s.
And he was always just the godly figure, you know, we all had to look up to, and, like, we'd even get told in class, you know, George Pell's coming today, so brush your hair and tuck yourself in, and, yeah.
He was big, solid man, and had eyes that'd stare right through you. It'd pierce your heart. Very strong, scary man.
In a letter from the time tendered to the Royal Commission, George Pell described his Episcopal Vicar role as part of, quote, the essential link between bishop, priests, parents, teachers and students. Terry Laidler was a Victorian priest in the 1970s and he knew the system well.
What sort of person would you want in that role?
Somebody, I suppose, who has at heart the safety and the welfare of the kids that the system educates.
This former student would often see George Pell at St Alipius. His name is Lyndon Monument. On long summer days in Ballarat, Lyndon Monument, like most kids in the inland town, would head to the Eureka Pool. And there...
I'll just pause it there for those who are listening on the radio. That the video that accompanies this is now showing a kind of a reenactment of children playing in a pool, and the camera is underwater, and it's kind of showing the boys playing around and focusing on their legs moving to the accompaniment of the music that you can hear.
There very often would be Father Pell.
He'd play games like throw the kids out of the water, like you'd put your leg in his hands and he'd one, two, three, and then he'd throw you out of the water. But it was only ever with boys.
There's never any girls flying off his shoulders or playing with him in the pool. It was always boys.
Darren Mooney was another kid who used to play with Pell at the pool every summer.
He'd throw us off his shoulders. There'd be three or four on him at a time, crawling all over him, the front, the back. He would grab you from, have his hands on your backside, and then he'd push you off. He just seemed to be there all day, every day.
But Lyndon Monument has told police that in the summer of 1978-79, the seemingly innocent game with Father Pell began to conceal something else beneath the water. He says the priest would unclasp his hands and use his free hand to molest him.
You know, his hand touching your genitals and stuff on the outside of your bathers or your shorts, and then that slowly became hand down the front of the pants or your bathers or whatever you call them.
Under the water.
Under the water.
Lyndon Monument told police at 7:30 George Pell would touch his penis, testicles and anus before throwing him in the air.
I just tried not to think about it.
It's deserted here at the Eureka Pool at this time of year, but in summer in the 1970s, it was a hive of activity. The family who owned the pool at that time have confirmed to 7:30 that George Pell was a constant fixture and he was always surrounded by children. But they said they never saw anything untoward, and if they had have, he would have been sent away and they would have called the police.
When contacted by police, the pool manager's wife says she never saw any behaviour by George Pell that concerned her. He was very popular with the children. Her statement is one of many made to Victoria Police's Task Force SANO, which investigates claims of sexual abuse coming out of the Royal Commission. Victoria's Police Commissioner Graham Ashton confirmed last month that Task Force SANO is investigating multiple allegations against the Cardinal and, if necessary, detectives would fly to Rome to interview George Pell. He said at that point it had not been put to him as necessary. The Commissioner declined an interview with 7:30, but his spokesman confirmed this is very much a live investigation. The detectives contacted Lyndon Monument last July.
I kept throwing them off, and then eventually they just asked me if I'd give them 5 minutes of their time, which I did.
Why didn't you want to be involved at the start?
Because it was a lot of pain for not only me, but for a lot of other people. And
okay, I'm just going to leave it there. You can watch the whole 7:30 report video. I'll put a link to it on the website. The allegations against George Pell are all of similar nature. Well, that certainly that's as bad as it gets, you know, groping, maybe hand in the front of the swimmers. Some of the other allegations are that he was often standing naked facing children, and one of the allegations comes from a man who was an adult at the time who observed George Pell in a surf club at Torquay, in the change rooms, standing naked in front of several young boys. Now, bear in mind, these derive from at least 30, closer even to 40 years ago in many cases. And it is only now, within the last 12 months, that these allegations have been made. And they come in the wake of the there's been two Royal Commissions, and the most recent one was the institutional responses to child abuse. And the police have, as you can see, pushed this. They're constantly searching for new evidence. And of course, after this show goes to air, I can guarantee you there will be more people coming forward, because every time something public comes out like this, it encourages people to come forward. And this is something I want to actually address. When we get back from break, you're with Truth News Radio Australia. Don't go away.
It took a very special brain to devise the theory of relativity, but was Albert Einstein born super smart? I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back with details on new discoveries into the famous physicist's brain in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Albert Einstein had one of the greatest minds in history, but was he just born brainy, or did thinking about physics cause his brain to expand? Newly discovered photographs of Einstein's brain may hold the answer. It appears the great physicist did indeed have something special between his ears. Einstein's brain has folds rarely seen in other brains, plus an enlarged prefrontal cortex, where people imagine events and simulate their consequences. Researchers don't yet know how these differences affected Einstein's remarkable IQ, but one thing's for sure, smarts had little to do with size. Einstein's brain was average-sized, relatively speaking, that is. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
HempUSA.org has moved and expanded its operations for faster worldwide shipping. Our product line has grown from 5 to nearly 100 items in less than 5 years. Our food is grown naturally, always chemical-free, not found in stores. Great for daily intake and perfect for your emergency storage shelter. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we the people are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Welcome back here with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm talking about the scandal over George Pell, allegations of pedophilia and sexual abuse, which are connected to a whole range of allegations and some criminal convictions, and much of it focused on the area of Ballarat in the 1970s and 80s, connected to the St. Alipius School, to whom George Pell often visited and was known to the students there, and was also known to Gerald Ridsdale, an infamous pedophile who was convicted of dozens of counts and up to, I think, 56 counts of child abuse. So obviously very serious there. But the involvement of George Pell in any of this has, until very recently, been one of being a witness, being called to the stand on the Royal Commission. And in earlier phases of his career, he was also involved in setting up a compensation scheme after the convictions and the exposure of some of the activities that derived from the 1990s. But now the spotlight has really focused on George Pell, and this has developed over time with an increasing kind of view of him being involved in some sort of cover-up or perhaps, you know, callous disregard of the welfare of the people that he was supposedly in charge of, or you know, whose welfare he was supposed to be supporting. Now, as I was saying at the end of the last segment, the police have been on somewhat of a fishing expedition trying to find more evidence, trying to find evidence of new perpetrators. And there has been such a focus on George Pell, mainly from the perspective of so many people who believe that he didn't do enough to help the people who were victims of child abuse during his long career. And it's interesting because, in a way, I think George Pell was set up to be someone who would be the fall guy, in that it was he who actually took the first steps to create an institution within the church to deal with the problem of child abuse, and actually to provide a compensation scheme. And he was involved in that for a long period of time, I think starting from the 1990s. But, of course, anything he did was perceived as not being enough. And one aspect of it, which was the confidentiality agreements that were required in order to get compensation, have been seen negatively as a further attempt to suppress the truth about what really happened. But gradually over time, the furor over Pell has moved more towards actually demonising him directly, and now finally it's coming out that he is now being accused of actually being a paedophile himself. And he was called to testify at the Royal Commission, and not in regard to any charges against him. He was called to testify at the Royal Commission just in the last couple of years. The Royal Commission started in 2013. I believe he testified earlier this year. And, of course, it was completely voluntary. And it was in response to the Royal Commission into the responses of the church to child abuse. Now, I want to play to you one clip from a short interaction between him and the Royal Commission, just to give you a sense of the kind of the harshness of the spotlight that has been put on George Pell. So I'll just play a little of that for you right now. Here we go.
I'll take you back to what he said, Cardinal. He spoke not just about discussion at the pub. He spoke further than that, and I'll come back to that. But it's also the case in relation to Day, you've given evidence of talking to other priests about Day's activities, haven't you?
Yes, certainly, especially after there was a long newspaper article.
Now, it's the case, isn't it, that priests are human?
I hope so.
And human beings talk among themselves about their colleagues, don't they, Cardinal?
Human beings in different categories have very different approaches to these matters. We work within the framework of Christian moral teaching.
I just want to pause it there, because I don't know if you heard that in the background. There was derisive laughter when he said, "We work within a framework of Christian moral teaching." one has to wonder, why is there derisive laughter from within a very hallowed kind of legal process, the Royal Commission, with very important people, you know, conducting an important, serious investigation? Why are people laughing when he talks about the Christian framework of morality? This, honestly, this is just a red flag. And I can only present this to you as kind of a gut feeling to indicate that we are actually dealing with something here that has a political angle to it, a political edge to it. As I said, Pell has been the target of many of the social justice warriors who crusade on behalf of LGBTI rights as being, you know, one of the greatest barriers to the legitimization of the gay lifestyle and, of course, the legitimization of same-sex marriage. And not just the individual, it's the whole framework of morals and beliefs that that individual subscribes to and represents. So I just give that to you as something to consider. Anyway, I'll just finish off with this clip and then we'll move on with something else.
And what does that mean?
Would you like me to continue?
I would indeed.
We work within a framework of Christian moral teaching, or certainly we should, and discussion of the secret faults of others is not encouraged. Certainly, we were always encouraged to have a concern for the general health and well-being of the community.
Okay, a very important point here to observe, and this is actually quite deep, and this is about a distinction between the modern, secular, statist kind of perspective on human behaviour, what is right and wrong, versus the conservative traditional perspective, which is most deeply embodied in the Catholic Church, where he's basically articulating something that is very true and very accurate about the way in which these institutions tried to deal with matters of moral failings. You see, we tend to think these days that everyone just goes straight to the police, you know, immediately go to the police, that is the solution to every problem. And that is because, and this has really happened progressively just over the last few decades, that we have become completely addicted to the state being the solution to every problem. Whereas what Pell is articulating there is a much more ancient and archaic way of looking at these types of things. And there is certainly a preference to affect people's moral conscience in ways that are more subtle and to maintain decorum and to maintain privacy as much as possible. And these, again, folks, these are connected to a framework of traditional moral perspectives, which are being challenged. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
Through advances in technology, our lives have greatly improved, except in the area of nutrition. People feed their pets better than they feed themselves, and it's time we changed all that. Our primary defense against aging and disease in this toxic environment is good nutrition. In a world where natural foods have been irradiated, adulterated, and mutilated, Youngevity can provide the nutrients you need. Logos Radio Network gets many requests to endorse all sorts of products, most of which we reject. We have come to trust Youngevity so much, we became a marketing distributor along with Alex Jones, Ben Fuchs, and many others. When you order from LogosRadioNetwork.com, your health will improve as you help support quality radio. As you realize the benefits of Youngevity, you may want to join us. As a distributor, you can experience improved health, help your friends and family, and increase your income. Order now.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with Jurisdictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. Jurisdictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I just want to reiterate the point there. I was talking about the traditional Catholic moral teachings and the way in which an institution like the church attempted to deal with matters of sinfulness and betrayals of the basic, you know, teachings and responsibilities within their own clergy. And their approach, and this was headed up by George Pell, was to create an internal compensation scheme and to offer counselling and to offer monetary payments in return for a voluntary agreement of confidentiality, to which many people agreed. Now, this is now perceived as something in itself evil, that this should never have occurred. But again, I see that as being a symptom of the fact that in the West, the moral authority of traditions, of traditional religion, of Christian traditional religion, has been undermined completely. And we are being encouraged to put complete faith in the mechanisms of the state, which is somewhat ironic because this really only does apply to the Christian church. It certainly doesn't apply to the Islamic world, where in fact the tendency seems to be almost the reverse, is that we are actually encouraged to stand back and allow a different culture to have their own moral precepts, which are completely separate from ours, and not criticize it. But this is more to do with something internal to our own tradition, to our own society. And whether you like it or not, and whether it's good or bad, it does appear to be occurring. Now, I want to play to you some of Andrew Bolt's interview with George Pell, and I'll put links to this because this is all quite long and detailed. But to give you a perspective on this, which is different to 99% of what you will have seen on the mainstream media. So we'll just go here to the interview here with Andrew Bolt. And this was conducted just a few months ago in March 2016.
Thanks for joining us. Cardinal George Pell is probably the most hated man in Australia, if you believe the media. He's been called a coward, a sociopath, someone who protected pedophile priests. And for four grueling days in Rome this week, he gave evidence to the Royal Commission into child sexual abuse and was grilled about what he knew about the pedophile priests, first in the Diocese of Ballarat and then in Melbourne. Now, if you believe Cardinal Pell, he was lied to. He was lied to by his bishop in Ballarat, Ronald Malkerns, and then by his archbishop in Melbourne, Frank Little. He knew nothing, and when he did know something and became archbishop himself of Melbourne, he took action. Well, the Royal Commission seemed to think that story unbelievable. It virtually called him a liar to his face. It said his stories were implausible. But just as implausible, I think, is probably the other side of the story. And that is that we have the third most senior Catholic in the world, in the Vatican, effectively the treasurer, sitting there in the witness box for 4 days telling lies after lies after lies. And before that, defending pedophiles as they rape children. So, which one of these implausible stories is true? George Pell, the sociopathic liar, or George Pell, the person who reformed this tremendous scandal? Well, we're about to let you decide for yourself by meeting Cardinal Pell. But before we start, I need to point out two things because there is so much misinformation yet again going out about this interview. No, I'm not a friend of Cardinal Pell. We met socially, briefly, on 4 occasions before I came to Rome. Secondly, no conditions have been put on this interview. And what you will see is unedited, as you can tell, and it's entirely up to you what you make of what is about to happen. Cardinal Pell, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Andrew.
Being hated like this, being called a coward and scum on high rotation by the mainstream media, this is not just Twitter abuse. How devastating is that for you?
Oh, it's very, very difficult and very upsetting. And there's no way around it, and I've steadily tried to put out what is the truth. Now, if I could perhaps go a little bit out of sequence, one of the things that helped me in my meeting with the Ballarat victims, despite the fact that I'd left Ballarat over 30 years ago, was that they knew me. Not all of them, but a number of them. I'd helped some of them. I'd helped their family members. And so they knew at first hand what I was really like, as distinct from this evil, insensitive stereotype that is being pushed.
I want to talk to you about that later, because there was something about your meeting that very struck me very powerfully. But first, there's not just been the personal attacks, the attacks on you. Yeah. There's been the attacks on your church, and for good reason, I have to say, your church, right, stands condemned, and rightly, for hiding pedophiles, for the rape of hundreds of children, for covering up, for telling lies, and now we have lives destroyed, families destroyed, and the church's reputation destroyed. How do you feel about your church when you see this catastrophe in front of you?
Oh, well, very, very sad. First of all, for the survivors, but sad also. I mean, often as well as their person, their personality, their individual suffering, often their faith is damaged, if not destroyed. What we must be clear about, though, in fairness, is that it was 20 years ago we got into gear to deal with these things. We set up Towards Healing, we set up the Melbourne Response. Now, I'm very keen that this is not forgotten, because a lot of very good people have worked very hard for 20 years to deal with these crimes. People like Peter O'Callaghan, Father John Asher, Michael Salmon, and many others, Brother Julian MacDonald.
So you're saying the era of cover-up is past?
Well, substantially finished 20 years ago.
All right, well, let's introduce you into how this all came about. Your father owned a pub in Ballarat. You were born in Ballarat.
Yes.
I believe your father was a heavyweight boxing champion from England.
No, he wasn't from England. He's an Aussie. He boxed under the name of Bell, because his mother didn't approve, but he was the leading contender for the heavyweight championship, I think, in the British Empire, so he wasn't too bad.
Should a man of the cloth take such pride in a pugilist?
Well, I certainly do. I very much admire my dad.
Good on you. So you then chose the church. Now, you were quite good at school. You were a good sportsman too. You even made the seconds at the VFL, now the AFL. Why did you decide to become a priest instead?
Reluctantly, because I thought God was calling me to do that, and I couldn't shake off that conviction.
And what did you want to do with it?
What did I want to do with
it? What did you want to do with this calling, with your priesthood?
To serve God and to serve the people.
Okay. You went to Oxford, you studied in Rome as well, and in Ballarat. You came to back to Ballarat in 1973. Did you have any idea that in Ballarat, this was the actual epicenter where some of the worst pedophilia in the church was occurring? With one school, something like 4 pedophiles, active pedophiles, preying on children. Did you have any idea that this was such a plagued diocese?
No, I was aware that a man called Monsignor Day in 72 had been exposed as a pedophile, but I had no idea that it was one of the worst centres in Australia. No idea beyond that at all.
And incredibly, you actually shared accommodation for a little while with the worst pedophile, Gerald Ridsdale. So you're both in the same presbytery. How did Ridsdale strike you as a man?
We were together for 10 months. Somewhat unusual man. I didn't warm to him, but by the same token, we never clashed. He was capable. People never didn't complain to me about his manner, as sometimes people would about other priests. You know, they talked to priest friends, and they didn't. He was a mystery man, I suppose we'd say subsequently.
And looking back, is there anything you say, well, look, gosh, I missed that, or I missed that aspect of his behaviour? I should have picked it up.
No, I once celebrated Mass after him, and I remember his vestments were there, and they were sopping wet. From some tension or something like that. And I remember noticing that at the time, and I thought, well, he's a very tense man. But that's the only particular characteristic that I can remember.
Man, did anyone come up to you in all the years you were in Ballarat and say, you know that bloke Ridsdale that you shared a house with? Watch out.
No. Not. See, I left Ballarat 31 years ago. There's a lot of water to go under the bridge after that. But no, they didn't say that to me when I was in Ballarat.
After a few years, you were appointed as one of the consultants. You were an up-and-coming young man. You'd had well-educated, smart, seen as a man of the future.
Yeah.
You were appointed one of the consultants of the Bishop of Ballarat.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Very interesting interview with George Pell, and I recommend watching the whole thing. I'm going to have to do some more shows on this because I've briefly touched on some aspects of this that are very important, but in presenting all the background information, I haven't had time to go into that in more depth. But I do hope you've found it interesting. I'll be back next week with another episode of Truth News Radio. See you then.
For America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a 3-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. 651-0102 or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth?